House come to order. The members please register their presence by voting. Has any member failed to register his presence? Mr. Swanson. Clerk may take the roll.
One present, nine absent.
Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, the following members are excused from the call of the House today. Representatives Ostrowski, Wallace, Davis, Smith, Huntington, Persberger, Anderson, Imburn, Guy, and Representative Gardner, although Representative Gardner is now present. I'll move and ask unanimous consent that any other absent members be shown as excused on official state business.
No objection, so ordered. Please rise for prayer by Pastor Donald M. Brown, Bethel Assembly of God.
Psalmist wrote, "In the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts, acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our peace." Dear Lord, this is a special day. This is a day that you've given to us. Help us to know and cherish our heritage, especially during this bicentennial year's legislative session, that we may more fitly serve you, which is our first trust. Come among us today. Live and work through us your purposes for the people of this state. Set our vision upon the highest goals. Give us clean hands, pure hearts, worthy motives, and wise minds for achievement.
Clerk, certify to the correctness of the journal.
As Chief Clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journals for the 5th, 6th, and 7th days and for House Supplement number 2.
Mr. Miller.
Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that this body approve the journal as certified by the Chief Clerk for the 5th, 6th, and 7th days and for the House Supplement number 2.
No objection, so ordered. This brings us to introduction of guests. Are there any guests for introduction? Mr. Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, I have a number of students from Sheldon Jackson College. They're on a governmental and rural affairs study group. They're here with Mr. Frank Roth, the instructor. The students' names are Ted Garcia, Tom Hanberry, Tom Henderson, Chris Hugo, Nora Smith, Denise Stein, Larry Vestal, and Linda Zinger.
Mrs. Byrne.
Mr. Speaker, in Gallery A is a very old and dear friend of mine, although she is a constituent of yours at this point. This is Roseanne Keller.
Mr. Swanson.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, we have a guest today in Gallery A that is a member of the State Operated School System Board, a member that was appointed by the Department of Education to work as a coordinator in the reorganization of rural schools. Is a person that has traveled constantly for the last 4 months or 5 months, bringing together those people that will be running the schools in rural Alaska as mandate laid down by Chapter 124. It's a person that has traveled in 40, 50, 60 below zero weather to keep the dates, bring the information to the people, what we're trying to do in the decentralization of state-operated schools. It's a pleasure to introduce to you today Mrs. Carol Phillips from Nenana, Alaska.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Rudd.
There is present with us today a former member of this body, a man whom I had the privilege of serving on the Anchorage Area Charter Commission with in 1971 and 1972, a man who is now a member of the Borough, the Anchorage Assembly, Mr. Don Smith. Mr. Speaker, I see another former member of this body here, Mr. Marty Farrell. Very happy to have him here.
Representative Eden.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to introduce a very good friend of mine and a constituent from Barrow. He's the assistant to the mayor of the North Slope Borough, and I'm very delighted to have him today because he's one of very few people in my area that's genuinely concerned about the well-being of our people. Billy Neco.
Any other introductions? Clerk, have messages from the governor?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the other house?
The Senate has passed House Bill number 27, amended operator licenses and school bus driver permits, and it is returned herewith. This bill has been sent to enrolling. The Senate has passed Senate Bill number 203, amended, and it is transmitted herewith. Senate Bill number 203, amended by Holman, an act relating to school attendance.
Referred to HESS.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk, have general communications.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I have a communication from the Department of Administration transmitting the 6th annual survey of salaries and benefits for the state of Alaska, prepared by the Division of Personnel and Labor Relations. A copy was put on each person's desk on Friday. I have no further communications, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Labor and Management has had House Bill 556 relating to electrical contractors under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Smith, Chairman, concurred in by Smith, Kelly, Huntington, Embern, and Urien. House Bill 556 has a further referral to Commerce. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of resolutions.
House Joint Resolution number 49 by Fisher, Huntington, Freeman, Eliason, M. Byrne, Hackney, Haugen, and Urien, proposing an amendment to the state constitution limiting the length of regular sessions of the legislature.
Judiciary and Finance.
I have no further resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
So clerk have bills for introduction.
Sponsor substitute for House Bill number 531 by Parr, an act relating to freedom of public information.
Judiciary.
House Bill number 607 by M. Byrne and Miller, an act creating the Alaska Forest Practices Act.
Resources.
House Bill number 608 by Specking, an act relating to commencement of payment of normal retirement pensions to state employees.
State Affairs.
House Bill number 609 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. The Governor's bills have transmittal letters with them. An act providing for the issuance of general obligation bonds in the amount of $8 million for the purpose of paying the cost of port facilities development projects and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 610 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act providing for the issuance of general obligation bonds in the amount of $31 million for the purpose of paying the cost of water supply and sewerage systems construction and providing for an effective date.
Community and Regional Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 611 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act providing for the issuance of general obligation bonds in the amount of $4,590,000 for the purpose of paying the cost of construction, reconstruction, and acquisition of public safety facilities and equipment and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 612 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act providing for the issuance of general obligation bonds in the amount of $4,100,000 for the purpose of paying the cost of capital improvements to healthcare facilities and providing for an effective date.
HESS Finance.
House Bill 613 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act providing for the issuance of general obligation bonds in the amount of $7 million for the purpose of paying the cost of capital improvements to parks and recreation areas and providing for an effective date.
Resources and Finance.
House Bill 614 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act providing for the issuance of general obligation bonds in the amount of $3,807,200 for the purpose of paying the cost of constructing, improving, and equipping court system facilities and providing for an effective date.
Judiciary and Finance.
House Bill 615 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. an act providing for the issuance of general obligation bonds in the amount of $4,455,100 for the purpose of paying the cost of capital improvements to fish and game management and development facilities and providing for an effective date.
Resources and Finance.
House Bill 616 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act providing for the issuance of general obligation bonds in the amount of $3 million for the purpose of paying the cost of constructing and equipping highway maintenance facilities and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 617 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act providing for the issuance of general obligation bonds in the amount of $15 million for the purpose of paying the cost of capital improvements for the University of Alaska and providing for an effective date.
HESS and Finance.
House Bill 618 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act providing for the issuance of general obligation bonds in the amount of $30 million for the purpose of paying the cost of constructing and remodeling of correctional facilities and providing for an effective date.
HESS and Finance.
House Bill 619 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act providing for the issuance of general obligation bonds in the amount of $19,900,000 for the purpose of paying the cost of constructing rural secondary school facilities and providing for an effective date.
HESS and Finance.
House Bill 620 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act providing for the issuance of general obligation bonds in the amount of $10,011,300 for the purpose of paying the cost of rural school construction, repair, and improvements and providing for an effective date.
HESS and Finance.
House Bill 621 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act providing for the issuance of general obligation bonds in the amount of $2 million for the purpose of paying the cost of the construction and major repair of National Guard facilities and providing for an effective date.
$2 million. State Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 622 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act providing for the issuance of general obligation bonds in the amount of $5,575,000 for the purpose of paying the cost of trunk and secondary airport construction and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 623 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act providing for the issuance of general obligation bonds in the amount of $50,360,200 for the purpose of paying the cost of highway, ferry, and local service roads and trails construction and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 624 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act establishing a revolving fund to provide for public facility planning and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 625 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act making a special appropriation to the Public Facility Planning Fund and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 626 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act relating to the establishment of marine sanctuaries and providing for an effective date.
Resources and Finance.
House Bill 627 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act relating to public employees' retirement and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs.
House Bill 628 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act making a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Administration for salary increases for state employees covered by collective bargaining agreements and providing for an effective date.
Finance.
House Bill 629 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act relating to the Alaska State Housing Authority and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs, Judiciary, and Finance.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Speckin. Hearing no objections, so ordered. Brings us to the daily calendar. Mr.
May we be briefly at ease?
House will be at ease. The clerk read the first item on the calendar.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 41 amended by Ray, Ziegler, and Meland, requesting amendment of the Organic Act of 1897, excuse me, to permit management of the national forests in Alaska according to modern silvicultural techniques. The Committee on Resources has had Senate Joint Resolution 41 amended under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Anderson, Chairman, concurred in by Smith, Anderson, Swanson, Brown, Huntington, Osterbach, Eliason, and Hirschberger. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, may we be at ease again, please?
House will stand at ease. Back to order. Mr. Miller.
Speaker, in the absence of amendments, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that this joint resolution be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, Senate Joint Resolution Number 41 is advanced from second to third reading, placed in final passage. Will the clerk read the resolution for the third and final time?
Senate Joint Resolution Number 41, amended by Ray, Ziegler, and Meland, requesting amendment of the Organic Act of 1897 to permit management of the national forests in Alaska according to modern silvicultural techniques.
Senate Joint Resolution 41 is before you for discussion and debate. Question is, shall Senate Joint Resolution Number 41 pass the House? The members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk may close the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Yeas, no nays, 11 excused.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 41 has passed the House. Mr. Miller. House, come back to order. Will the clerk read the next item on the calendar?
House Bill Number 550 by the Rules Committee by request of the Legislative Council, an act relating to legislative administration and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Rules has had, no, excuse me. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 550 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 550 with the same title and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Malone, Chairman, concurred in by Duncan, Buchholz, Haugen, Naughton, Itta, Guy, Cooper, and Malone. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Miller.
Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute be accepted in lieu of the original bill.
Be no objection. So ordered. Clerk, have any amendments?
I have one amendment on my desk, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number one by Mr. Freeman. Page one, line 12. After legislature on line 12, delete all language through and including line 15.
Mr. Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
Objection noted. Mr. Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, the language, Legislative Affairs Agency is responsible for the equitable allocation of parking space at the Capitol according to the needs of the legislature and other agencies occupying capital offices seems to me to be a chore that I wouldn't say is beneath the Legislative Affairs Agency, but it seems to me that if they're doing their job properly, that they have a lot of other things to do about deciding who, which legislators park their cars where. I suspect, and I may be very uncharitable in this, but it seems to me that there's a possibility that there's a bit of an ego involved here, that the Legislative Affairs simply wants to have the say in who parks their car underneath and who parks on top, and it just seems to me that it's kind of petty. You know, the Legislative Affairs Agency, as I said, has a lot more, I think, a lot more important things to do than worry about which legislator parks where.
Mr. Miller.
Speaker, Mr. Freeman is half right. The issue is somewhat petty, but the pettiness has existed on the side of the whoever the little kingmaker is that assigns these spots in administration. And they apparently refuse to recognize the fact that this body does meet for several weeks every year. And legislators, by the nature of the hours they keep, meaning that they don't show up right at 8 o'clock, but nevertheless, may be in and out all day and into the evening as well, by necessity have to have a reserved spot in back of the Capitol building here. Quite frankly, we have not been able to get those reserved spots. There's no excuse in the world why any legislator in this body or in the other body should not have a reserved spot in the Capitol building. Otherwise, you're forced with the prospect of sometimes parking blocks away and having to walk up here and maybe unless you want to take advantage of your little red sticker, even having to figure out some way to plug the meters. It just doesn't make any sense for legislators not to have a parking place. It would seem that there'd be nothing to it, that enough spots would be allocated each year to accommodate this need. But the hard fact is that for reasons totally unexplainable, and this is not just the present administration we're talking about, apparently it's been going on for many years, that many spots have not been assigned. So I agree, it's too bad we have to take up this body's time with such things as this, and it's too bad we have to assign this sort of a chore to the Legislative Affairs Agency. But the hard fact is that if you don't want to end up walking several blocks every morning, this is apparently what we're going to have to do. It's not that big a chore, incidentally, though. The Legislative Affairs Agency feels they can handle it with a minimum of red tape and a total non-existence of ego in the problem. I don't think it's any big deal at all.
Mr. Specking.
I don't know which side of this thing I'm on, but I would like to think that whoever is responsible for a member of the legislature who allegedly controls three parking spaces, I hope will see fit to correct it.
Somebody's in your parking spot, Mr. Speckin.
Mr. Speaker, no, but I do understand that there is a legislator who has been able to maintain control of three parking spaces rather effectively.
Is he in this? Is he in this body?
The speaker, the rules prevent me from discussing the body from the other side.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Specking. Mr. Miller.
Speaker, if Mr. Specking has information of the sort that he described, I think the speaker and certainly myself would like to know the identity of this person whose affiliation and whose body will remain nameless for the present time. But, if you'll
Mr.
pass
Urien.
That information on, we'd appreciate it.
House stand at ease. House come back to order. Any other discussion? Where are we, madam? We're amendment number one. Any other discussion on amendment number one? Mr. Miller. Question is, shall amendment number one pass the House? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
The amendment fails. Does the clerk have other amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Miller.
Speaker, in the absence of further amendments on this weighty issue, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill 550 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There is no objection. Committee substitute for House Bill number 550 is advanced from second to third reading, placed on final passage. Clerk, read the bill for the third and final time.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 550 by the Finance Committee, an act relating to legislative administration and providing for an effective date.
Bill is before you for discussion and debate. Mrs. Byrne.
Mr. Speaker, I would just like to have an explanation of 240. I'm sorry, of 2140.
Mr. Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The only real change in 140 from the present law is that the bill as written would require, as a matter of law, that an independent annual audit be made of the expenditures of the legislature. I think it normally was a practice, and that practice someplace along the line, time to time, would be overlooked. And what we want to do is put it on a statutory basis. I think it's good that the legislature have that done, and this little reminder in the law should prevent any lapses of memory in the future. Everyone else is subject to audit, and at least the members on the Finance Committee felt that the legislature should be also.
Mr. Brown.
Someone who is more familiar with matters involving accounting and bookkeeping than I am might answer this question, but I remember that when we discussed having an audit of the agency on council in the interim, and we had a new team coming on board, and we were concerned about some of the problems that had existed before, and there was some question about what had been going on. There was some discussion about the difference between a status audit and a much more expensive kind of audit. I'm not somebody who's an expert on these things. I'd like to know how this statute is going to be interpreted and what kind of an audit is going to result. Are we going to end up paying an outside agency $5,000 or an outside company $5,000? We're going to end up paying them $40,000. What kind of an audit are we talking about? As far as the other section of the bill is concerned, it seems strange that we have to bring to the attention of the Department of Administration our existence, considering some of the events of the last few weeks, but maybe that's necessary too. But I would like to find out what the answer to my question is.
Mr. Malone.
Mr. Speaker, probably Mr. Brown, as a member of the council, could answer his question better than I, but the type of audit and the depth to which the council would go would depend on the decision of the council. At a minimum, I think the other members of the legislature are right to expect a normal annual fiscal compliance, financial compliance audit, which would include a statement of operations for the year and a balance sheet, and a comment by the auditor as to whether or not the funds were expended legally. And that would be the minimum that would be required. If council wanted to go beyond that and do some sort of performance audit in some area or other, certainly they have that latitude in addition.
Any other discussion? Question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill number 550 pass the House? The members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk may close the roll. Any member wish to change his vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Yeas, 1 nay, 10 excused.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 550 has passed the House. Mr. Miller.
Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on committee substitute for House Bill number 550 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
In no objection, so ordered. This brings us to the end of the daily calendar to unfinished business. Is there unfinished business to come before the House? Special orders. Special orders to come before the House. Mr. Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I'm not quite sure whether this is under special orders, but just as a matter of information from the members of the body. At the Saturday Legislative Council meeting, reports of many of the subcommittees of the Council were given, and the report of the Subcommittee on Telecommunications will be on your desks tomorrow, unless you're a member of the Council, in which case you've already received yours.
Anything more under special orders? Mr. Miller. Committee announcements. House, be at ease. House, come back to order. Mr. Miller.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, I'll make a couple other announcements later, but before the committee announcements, I wanted to announce that there would be a brief chairman's meeting in my office immediately after sessions.
Mrs. Sullivan.
Mr. Speaker, Hess will meet this afternoon at 3 o'clock in the regular meeting room to discuss House Concurrent Resolution 74 relating to urging health care delivery systems personnel not to strike, House Bill 541, Visitation Rights of Prisoners, and House Bill 563, Housing for Senior Citizens in the New Capitol.
Mr. Malone.
Speaker, the House Finance Committee will meet tomorrow morning at 8:30 a.m., taking up House Bill number 551, the Supplemental Appropriation Legislative.
Mr. Bradley.
House Commerce will be meeting at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning to consider two bills, House Bill 573 dealing with alcoholic beverages and House Bill 578 dealing with credentialing review committees.
Mr. McKinnon.
State Affairs will meet at 1:30 this afternoon to consider House Bill 552 dealing with surplus property and House Bill 553 relating to risk management and loss prevention.
Mr. Gardner. Mr. Cotton. Any other announcements? Mr. Miller.
Speaker, before placing adjournment motion, I will mention a couple of other small items. A number of you may remember that when we adjourned last year, there were, I think, about three free conferences, free conference committees that were in existence, and legislation is still pending between the two bodies. Those free conference chairmen should contact their counterparts in the other House and begin to resolve those differences in the bills. We'll be itemizing which particular bills those are, and we'll contact the pre-conference committee members. But just right now, if you remember that you were on a pre-conference committee that did not resolve itself last year, I urge you to start doing so immediately. Just tentatively, and we'll make another announcement on this Wednesday, but tentatively at after the session is over on Wednesday, it looks like we'll probably have a meeting with members of the other body who are interested, in turn with the retirement people, so that legislators can review their own particular retirement act as it was passed in the last legislature. As you remember, there's some deadlines, some things you have to do to participate in the act if you want to participate, and those things will be outlined by the Division of Retirement. If there's no other announcements, Mr. Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent this body stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
No objection. Body is in adjournment.